We're going to get into today with this study some information from the Bible that shows that not only did God have a plan to reveal end time events such as the timeline of history or the end of the church age, the Great Tribulation, information about that, but also included in that was other information very much a part of the whole gospel message. And we'll go into a passage in the book of Hebrews to look at that. But first, let's be reminded that God did have a plan to seal up the Scriptures. For instance, if we go to Daniel chapter 12 and read verse 4 of Daniel 12, it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And a little further down, verse 8, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And that fits along with the verse in Ecclesiastes that a wise man's heart discerneth time and judgment. Time and judgment. Remember that verse in Ecclesiastes 8, 5 and 6 that really shows that it is God's plan to reveal at the end things that have been sealed up, things that have been closed. And remember how we understood that, what that means, and God gives us a biblical picture of what he means, because the same word, shut up, is found in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 26. In Genesis 26, the Philistines were arguing with Isaac and Isaac's servants, and they didn't want Isaac to have some wells. And we read in Genesis 26 and verse 15, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them." And that's the same word as closed in Daniel 12:9, "and filled them with earth." And we're not going to get any kind of spiritual picture from this. We're just going to get an illustration of what God means when he says, shut up the words, seal the words, close the words, till the time of the end. And wells is a good, water wells is a good example, because over in Isaiah 12, God speaks about a well in verse 3. "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." And so this is a very good picture, because we know that the gospel is typified by water. God refers to the wells of salvation. And here are these Philistines, and they're contrary to God and to God's people, and they don't want to help them in the least bit. So Abraham had some wells to feed his flocks, to bring water for his servants and his cattle, and the Philistines filled them up. They had their men out there, and they shoveled dirt into the wells, who knows how many feet deep, and it could have been 5, 6, 7, 8 feet deep. We don't know. But we do know, after they filled them up, if anyone would have come along and had seen a well off in a distance, and that's kind of a dry land, you approach the well expecting water, searching for water, and you can taste it in your mouth, and you get there, and you lower the bucket, and you pull the bucket up, and it's full of dirt. It's full of dirt, and maybe even somebody jumped down and dug a foot or two, more dirt. Can't get any water out. It's a dry well. And so they continue on. Now that's the idea behind sealing up the word until the time of the end. The picture is the gospel water, the truth of the word of God. God closed it up. You could go to the passages, just like people could go to these wells. You can go to Ezekiel. You could go to Daniel. You could go to Matthew 24. Throughout the history of the church age. And you could dig, searching for truth. You can try to uncover what God is saying in these passages, but you weren't going to find anything because God closed them up. And no man can, if God shuts a door, no man can open it. And when God opens a door, on the other hand, no man can shut it. But if God's plan was to hide truth, then it wouldn't matter how brilliant you were. And you could be Calvin, or you could be Luther, or you could be Knox, or you could be Jonathan Edwards, or you can be the great preacher Spurgeon, or Robert Hawker, or all these faithful men of the past. And you could come to the Scriptures, and your mind is much more finely tuned than our minds today, because we have so many distractions in this modern technological world. We're constantly distracted. We don't know what it's like to be diligent in Bible study, to tell you the truth. And if we didn't have all these Bible helps, can you imagine the state we'd be in? But these men of old, they grew up at a young age going to college and learning the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin and all these other languages. And they went into the Bible without concordances and without all the helps we have of word search. Click and there it is. They had to study and then by memory compare that verse with another verse over there, because they didn't have all the words organized for them in every place it was used in the Bible. They put in great amounts of time and prayer, and they were, I don't know if all of them were, but many of them were true children of God. God had saved them, put His Spirit within them, and in the Bible, John 16 was there just like it is for us today. Where I referred to this a couple of times in John 16, in verse 13. Well, let me read verses 12 and 11. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, the question is, of course, when is the Spirit of truth come? When would that be? Of course, He comes, the Holy Spirit enters into every believer. But you see, it says He will guide you into all truth, all truth. And the men of the past weren't guided into all truth. They learned some truths. I think that verse in John relates to Habakkuk in Habakkuk 2 and verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. See, the vision, and that's a reference to the Word of God, will speak at the end. It's going to speak. And that also goes along with Mark 13. Mark 13. And verse 11. And this is an end time chapter, we realize. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. And you know how unusual that is for God to say, don't premeditate? Doesn't He tell us meditate upon these things? Doesn't He say study to give an answer? Or over in Luke, I'll finish reading that verse, but in Luke 21, he says in verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Don't think about it beforehand. Don't try to understand the coming of Christ, whether it's pre-mill, post-mill, a-mill, and why do we have all those theological doctrines of the end times? Because people didn't listen to God. These verses were sealed up along with them. They didn't realize that these things weren't for them, that they could never come to truth on the actual outline or the actual way that the Lord Jesus would come and the actual truths that are involved with his coming. They could never learn them because God said, don't meditate about it. Don't think about it beforehand. Now, Mark 13, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour. Remember, Revelation 18 speaks of the hour of judgment. It's the hour of the great tribulation, or the hour of the whole judgment at the end of the world. That speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Again, the Holy Ghost is going to speak in that hour. He will guide you into all truth. Remember that? In John 16, the Holy Ghost will speak. Now, he's not going to speak audibly. We're not going to hear a thunder strike from heaven. We're not going to have any kind of additional revelation. But comparing spiritual with spiritual, 1 Corinthians 2 tells us the Holy Ghost teacheth. He speaks. And so when we get to the end, and Habakkuk 2 told us at the end it shall speak. When we get to the time of the end, the Holy Ghost is going to speak. What's he going to speak? The words that have been sealed up. The words that have been closed until the time of the end. He's going to reveal them. Now, the illustration is, during the whole history of the world, actually, but especially during the church age, these things were sealed up like dirt in a well. And now, here we come in the year 2000. I'm not going to date it. Here we come in after the millennium. And we're searching the Bible during this last part of the Great Tribulation. We're searching the Scriptures. We have our shovel out. We're digging. We're looking for water. Where's the truth? And yet God makes it happen. God opens the well. It's as simple as that. God reveals the truth. The water starts coming up. I mean, when you dig in the well and you're thirsty and then you see a little water, it encourages to dig more. Dig further down until you have a full well, the wells of salvation, the well of gospel truth. And so we've learned things such as the coming forth from the book of Jeremiah regarding the end of the church age, that the Holy Spirit has left the congregations and God is finished using the church of our day. Their testimony is done. And now he's using individuals to bring forth the gospel to the world. All that has come from the Bible, and we understand it not because we follow a man. No. The Bible says, in that hour, Mr. Camping will speak. What did it say? In that hour, the Holy Ghost will speak. The Holy Ghost will declare these things. And you know, if anyone has a problem with the whole end of the church age teaching or with some other things that are coming forth out of the Bible, their problem isn't with family radio. Their problem isn't with an individual. Their problem is directly with God. It is with God. God has taken full and personal responsibility for what is being taught at the end. The Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He is going to reveal these things that have been sealed up. And if someone doesn't like them, They don't like the true gospel of the Bible. It's as simple as that. They don't like the truth of the Word of God. This is God's program. It is His plan to have closed them up, and it's His plan to open up the well or to reveal these things in our day. Now we're coming, though, many of us who have left the church, we realize the church age is over. We can see it from the Bible. We realize that there is a timeline of history, that 2011 is looks like the end of the world. We realize these things. But come on, lately, are you telling me that we were all wrong about the resurrection? We were all wrong about eternal judgment? We didn't understand hell? We didn't understand these simple, basic truths? And the problem is, number one, they're not simple, basic truths. We think they were the simple, basic things, but actually they aren't. They aren't. The simple, basic truth, or the first principles of the Word of God, are the Lord Jesus Christ. His person, His work, and that Jesus is the Savior, that He is eternal God Himself in the flesh, that He entered into the world to save a people for Himself, that He is the Word in the flesh. All those are the foundational truths of the Bible. But eternal judgment, resurrection of the dead, baptism, faith, repentance, all these things are not the milk of the Word, they're the strong meat. They're the strong meat. They're the things that all the churches get confused on, aren't they? They're the things that no church, if it's so simple, then how come we have all kinds of salvation plans? How come we have all types of ideas about baptism and the modes of baptism, and some sprinkle and some dip and some immerse, and everybody thinks they have the truth, if it's so simple? Or what about repentance? If that's a simple doctrine, well, it isn't, because the Bible commands us to repent. But when we really search the Bible, who can repent of their own heart? No, there's more information. The faith of the Lord Jesus, that's simple. Just believe, accept Christ. Now, we see how complicated that gets, because everyone develops their own idea of how to get someone saved, and actually, they can't. They can't. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5, and I think if we look at it long enough, we might begin to understand what God is saying here in Hebrews 5. The discussion in chapter 5 has led to Melchizedek, as God is going to speak about Melchizedek. But He says in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing." And this word dull isn't the same word that's found a few other places, like in Matthew 13, where it's speaking about they have eyes but see not and ears that cannot hear. And the word dull of hearing is there. It's a different Greek word. This word dull is only found twice, and the second time is in chapter 6 of Hebrews, in verse 12, "that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." The word dull is the word slothful. And so that's one reason, actually, that we can be a little dull in hearing, because we're lazy. And I'm including myself. When it comes to spiritual things, we're not checking them out as thoroughly as we should. And so God is saying that you're dull of hearing, for when, in verse 12, "for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, this is the problem that I think many of us are experiencing, and I felt the same way when I heard about this teaching on annihilation rather than eternal damnation. I thought, no way, because the Bible clearly lays it out. Of course, I had never checked into it. I had never seriously examined the idea of annihilation. I had never looked at the verses like man perishes like the beast and so forth. And that was my first reaction. The other one was, after hearing more about it, I don't know anything. If I don't know this, I don't know anything. This is a basic, fundamental truth of the Bible. And I'm ignorant of it. I had it wrong. I don't understand this simple teaching. And, you know, that I'm sure a lot of people felt that way. And you wonder, should I ever teach? Should I ever teach if I didn't understand this? Now, it's a little comforting. It's a little comforting that nobody in the past understood it either. I mean nobody. Nobody. Now, as we search history, well, you have some groups like Jehovah's Witnesses that came up with a teaching of annihilation, which actually makes it not easier to accept, but more difficult to accept, because they're another gospel. They're a false gospel. And so we don't want to say that we believe anything they believe, but they actually probably have other doctrines too that we believe. And it's just this one makes us feel a little uneasy about it. And so as we think this and think, I don't know anything, that's the perfect place for us to be. It is really what I've come to realize. It's the perfect place for us to be. We should have been here all along, because then we do go to God and we say, God, please teach me. Help me, because I may have said it before, but I really feel it now. I don't know a thing. I don't know anything. And it could be one of the reasons why God has hidden these things until now, just to humble us a little bit more and test us a little bit more. But we thought were the first principles, but they're not. The word first, I wrote down some verses where this is used. To go to Matthew 19 in verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning, that's the word first. And also in verse 8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And it's most often translated as beginning. Like John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. It's this Greek word, arche. Means first, foremost, the beginning. And it's found in many places, 2 Peter 3:4, from the beginning of the creation. It's used in Revelation 22 and verse 13, referring to Jesus. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So Jesus is the beginning. And we're going to see it. The first principles, the beginning principles of the Word of God, are the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself, his person, his nature, his work, he is the first principles. You can't, like some people have said, and I think they've said it to show that this truth on this idea of annihilation can't be a truth. Is that, well, if we can't know about hell and the true teaching of hell, then what's next? What's next? Are we going to say that Jesus is not God, or that Jesus is not part of the Trinity, and everything's up in the air? And so are we going to search the Scriptures diligently to find out those ideas too, to see if it's so? And actually, the first principles are the Lord Jesus Christ. There are the basic truths. He is the foundation stone. We read in 1 Corinthians 3. Upon Him, everything is built. The kingdom of God and also the knowledge of the Word of God. He is the basic truth of the Bible. Now, the word principles is the word that's translated in, you don't have to go there, but in Galatians 4:3 as elements, the elements of the world. Or in Colossians 2:8, rudiments of the world. It's the same word. In 2 Peter 3:10, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. It's found there in verse 10 and verse 12, translated as elements. And the elements of the world, it's the basics of the building blocks of the world. It's the foundation, in other words, of the world. That's what the elements are, which are going to melt. And so again, the first elements or the beginning elements of the oracles of God, and oracles is a word, it really means the Word of God, the beginning elements of the Word of God. What are they? Well, let's just read from verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You hear that? That's the first principles. That's the beginning element. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He is that foundation. He is the one that we must understand. And Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand He is eternal God. They've left the first principles. Or other the Mormons don't understand that. Many other false gospels and religions don't understand the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They leave the first principles and they get into trouble. They come to error. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And Lord willing, next week we'll take a look at this, if we have any time today, of this idea of perfection. Perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. We've misunderstood this verse. I know I have, and I think a lot of people have read this and thought, they're the first principles. They're the first principles. And actually, no, we're leaving them. We're leaving them, we're going on unto perfection. And when we go on unto perfection, when we're learning the deeper things of God, we're going to learn about repentance, that it's a gift of God, that we don't have the strength or the spiritual ability to sufficiently repent in the eyes of God. Well, didn't past generations understand that? Spurgeon taught a sermon, Turn or Burn. Turn or burn. It's up to you. Turn or burn. Repent. Or you're going to go into hell. And that's the idea that many have. They would teach repentance. And yet they would fail to understand that a man is dead spiritually and he cannot respond. Now we can throw away the pack of cigarettes or we can put away the beer and we can do things like that. But where's the real problem? It's in the heart. Who can turn from their own heart? That's where evil proceeds forth from. We need a new heart in order to repent sufficiently according to the Bible. And so it's really in our time that we're learning more about repentance. How about faith toward God? Faith toward God. How many preachers or theologians in the past laid out the truth that in Genesis 2:16 it says man is not saved by the works of the law but the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can Galatians. Thank you, Howard. And let's go there because I'll get it wrong. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's the genitive in the Greek. It belongs to Jesus. It is His faith that saves us. That's just come out, really, in the last 10 to 15 years, where we've gotten a good understanding about, we know it's solid truth. And by the way, the word strong meat means something sure, steadfast. We know absolutely that it is Christ's faith that saves and not man's. And yet that was not known previously in the whole history of the New Testament era or the church age. Or look at verse 2 of Hebrews 6, of the doctrine of baptisms. There's an easy one. Baptisms. Try to read up on baptisms and see if you can figure it out. What is biblical baptism? And yet we came to understand, and remember Mr. Camping wrote a book, Baptism, the Washing Away of Our Sin. And that is a great book, and you're not going to find that anywhere in history. You'll find a lot of confusion about baptism, but that we were baptized in Christ as He went through, as He paid the penalty for hell, as He paid the penalty of death for His people, we were baptized with His baptism. Again, this is a new understanding of what the Bible says about baptism that has come to light in the last decade. And it's very solid. It's very sure. Nobody questions that. It is true. When we search the Bible, yes, we now have a much better understanding of what God taught regarding baptism and of laying on of hands. I don't understand that. It's here. Maybe we'll come to understand it in the days that are left. We know it has a spiritual application, the laying on of hands, of bringing the gospel to someone. But I don't know what the deeper meaning of that is. That's the only thing here that kind of stands out that we haven't touched on in the last decade. And then it goes on to say, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Again, what's come up? What's come up in the last month or two, the last few months? We found that our understanding of the resurrection wasn't quite right. It wasn't quite right. The resurrection looks like May 21st, and that'll be the resurrection of the believers and the rapture, but there's still a five-month period where those upon earth will not we don't know exactly. We're still studying that five-month period. But it looks like the resurrection of the just occurs at one time and those to damnation another time. And we're learning about the resurrection and of eternal judgment. Right following the resurrection, as we learn information of that, now, all of a sudden, the whole idea of eternal damnation is coming up. And we're discovering truths about this that we never saw before, and information in the Bible that talks of, that seems to point to annihilation, and where man is destroyed completely, and there is no eternal conscious suffering in hell, a place called hell. You see, these are the things that God has said we will move on going to perfection. We're going to learn. Now, the interesting thing is, he basically is saying we're like children. We're like babes. We're like those that have been upon the milk of the Word. And he's just talking to all of us. You have need that one teach you again what be the first principles, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, not of sure and steadfast doctrine, not of these deeper truths. Well, let's just look at the couple of places, and then next week maybe we'll go into them in a little bit more detail. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And it says in verse 11, And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, it's indicating we're going to come to a perfect man so that we be no more children. We'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, that's evil, be ye children, but in understanding be men. Be men. The word men is the same word that's translated as perfect. It's actually should. It's never translated as men except here. Be perfect. Be not children in understanding, be perfect. That's unusual, isn't it? Well, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We read in the Gospel of Matthew. It is a command of God. Be perfect. But this is speaking of understanding, of doctrine. Look at the previous chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And in verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And what does that mean? If you know in part, what does that mean? That there, if you have knowledge of part, you don't have knowledge of the whole. And that's how we have understood it. That's correct. It's like when the soldiers parted Jesus' garments. Each one took a part. They didn't have the whole anymore. They had a piece. They had a piece, and God is saying, we have a piece of understanding. We have some doctrine. We have part knowledge of the truth of the Bible. And yet he's saying, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Go back to Hebrews. In Hebrews 5. And let's look at verse 13 to 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's the word perfect. That's the word perfect. It's the Greek word that we found in other places. It's the identical word. Strong meat belongeth to them that are perfect. Perfect. And then chapter 6 tells us, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Go continue studying the Bible, keep studying, when that which is perfect is come. The Lord Jesus, or the Holy Spirit of God, is going to open up truth. He's going to reveal truth. He will guide us into all truth. He's going to teach us, not every single thing in the Bible. It doesn't mean we're going to understand everything. What it means is that God... Let's look at it this way. There's a container, and that's knowledge that God wants his people to know at some point before the end of the world. And it was filled up to here throughout most of the history of the church. And before the end, he's going to fill us up unto the measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be perfect in knowledge that God has allotted to us, that he wants us to know before the end of the world. And what does that mean? Well, we can know that God is a triune person, We have that knowledge. He's three, yet one. But do we really understand it? No. So coming to a perfect understanding of doctrine doesn't mean we can go into the depths of any one doctrine or teaching, but we understand basically what he is saying. We understand that this is the truth of the Bible. And so going back to 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And we always thought that was referring to heaven. But no, it's the time when God is opening the scriptures and he's revealing himself. We're just like he spoke with Moses face to face. Now, nobody, I always have to qualify these things because people are quick to take a comment and apply it in a way you didn't mean it. But when God spoke with Moses, it meant he gave him direct information. When you speak with someone face to face, there's a lot more likely that there's going to be no misunderstanding. Even though there still could be with human beings, rather than sending an email or sending another way of communication, face to face is the best way of expressing what you want to get across to the person, because you can see their face and so forth, and you can communicate that way. And so God is just saying that he is going to reveal to us in a very direct way through the Bible, through the Word of God, end time information about the end of the church age, the timeline of history, the eternal judgment, the resurrection of the dead, the faith of Christ, all these things we will understand better. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And so this passage is telling us that we can expect, along with Hebrews, we can expect that God is going to reveal things concerning resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, having said all that, it doesn't mean that everything we're hearing now is absolute truth. We have to search it out. It doesn't mean that some of these doctrines can't be fine-tuned, that we can't correct certain areas, but it does mean that we're in actually right where we should be, as God is teaching these things at this time. All right, let's close here, and we'll pick up again next week, Lord willing. Let's have a word.